inbounds, you've got to inbound the ball. That's the first thing. Do that. Know that, knowing that Purdue's going to try to make it difficult and then trap it. So be secure with your passes and understand, you know, where you want to go with the basketball.
Gilmore will throw it in. He's got Blackwell, Klesmet, Winter, and Tanjay. He can roam the baseline. Talking about Gilmore here. 6-point lead for the Badgers. 2 minutes, 12 seconds to play. Cam Heide is in the face of Gilly. Shuffles left, inbounds to Blackwell. Single coverage from Braden Smith. Blackwell up the floor, across half court to the right side. He'll throw to Gilmore between the circles. Carter feeds. Minutes to play. Tanjay throws to Gilmore high on the left, feeds Klesmet. Left side, drives off the wing, goes to the goal, reverse layup, no, but a foul. Good take from Max Klesmet as he crashes to the floor again, and now he'll shoot two free throws with a minute 54 to play.
And this is where Max has been really good the last couple of minutes, knowing that Purdue wants to be ultra aggressive around the perimeter, so rip and go. They can't stay in front of you because they're trying to pressure you. So if you rip and go with that, now all of a sudden you've got the front step, gives you the advantage.
Trey Kaufman ran the foul, his third. First free throw is good for Klesmet. 83-76 Wisconsin.
Wisconsin's been so good at here in the last 3-4 minutes is Purdue's had some stuff offensively, but they haven't. Wisconsin has not let them get on a run.
Second free throw straight in for Max. 84-76 Wisconsin. A minute 53, clock running, remaining at Mackey Arena. Braden Smith out high. Smith, right of the lane, throws it to Heide, right corner, feeds Fletcher Lawyer, weaving, right elbow, pass deflected, it's loose, stolen by Blackwell. And Blackwell brings it up the floor. Smart decision there. He had Tanjay streaking, but Blackwell said, let's burn some time. Down to 90 seconds. Here's Max throwing to Tanjay, left corner. Out to the wing is Tanjay.
Smart.
Badgers bleeding the clock, 15 to shoot, minute 24 to play. Blackwell at the center circle, 120 to play, 10 to shoot. Blackwell against Colvin. Blackwell high in the left, driving left of the lane, pulls, pops, off the glass and in for Blackwell. 86-76, Wisconsin with 107 remaining. Smith out high. Smith slips it in. Kaufman Wren turns it. Colvin stamps off a three left corner. Good again. Miles Colvin with 9. Timeout Purdue with exactly 1 minute to play. 86-79 Wisconsin.
That bank must be open because there's a lot of people walking down the steps to go to the bank. I don't know if that John Blackwell bank shot reminded so many people like, hey, the bank closes at 4. I don't know what happened there, but
Yeah. There's
a lot of people walking down the stairs right now.
Yeah, Miles Colvin saying not so fast, hitting that left corner three. He has 3 threes today. He averages 5 points a game. We mentioned just a 29% three-point shooter coming in. But he's trying to keep Purdue alive. 1 minute remaining, 86-79, Wisconsin leading Purdue.
What I've been really impressed with, Matt, though, is understanding, right? They could have taken more threes in the second half, but what have they done the last 4 minutes? They put the ball on the deck and they drove.
Both teams have gotten work done in the paint. Wisconsin 36 points in the paint to Purdue 34. So you got Gilmore, Winter, Blackwell, Klesmet, and Tanjay out there for Wisconsin. C.J. Cox, Jakari Harris, Camden, Heide, Braden Smith, and Miles Colvin, the 5 on the floor for the Boilermakers. Gilmore will inbound again. He can roam. He's got Heide in his grill. One pass fake, shuffling left Gilmore, and nothing there. Timeout, Wisconsin. So now both teams are with one timeout remaining. Possession arrow, Wisconsin. Badgers up by 7. Oh, he thought it could be fun.
Wow, he did. And we'll go back a little bit, right? Kamari McGee gets ejected from the game, and this group had a chance to kind of make a decision. And I thought Jack Janicki came in and weathered that first storm, and then they started to kind of get back to this. I thought getting it back to 1 point down at halftime was crucial.
Yes.
Because it had a chance to go the other way. Now, this group has been through a lot. And I think that's where the experience and the calmness of just understanding the moment really took over for this group.
Wisconsin is 18 of 25 from the floor in the second half. Purdue's pretty good too. 15 of 25. Some lights out offensive work, and now trying to finish the deal. 60 seconds remaining, 86-79, Wisconsin. Badgers go and start to show a little football mode, and there's the long pass. Gilmore in a post pattern. Nolan Winter down the lane. He got fouled by Miles Colvin. Oh, how about that? Free throws coming up. Badgers now in the double bonus. Greg Gard wanted the flagrant. Didn't want to take it easy there. Don't chirp too much. We have 59.6 seconds remaining. Get Miles Colvin for the foul, and they looks like they are going to take a look here for a potential flagrant. As that was a nice little pass on that post pattern.
It was, absolutely. Now, the question I have for you is, it's a seven-point lead. Does that ball get thrown if it's a three-point game?
Ooh.
I'll answer that. No, I don't think it does.
I was going to say. I don't think it does,
but being up by seven with a minute left, you've got a little bit of a wiggle room, and I think that's exactly what happened there. And because of that, you do throw that pass, and I don't know why we're reviewing this. I'll be completely honest, though. I know Greg is asking for it.
Well, if it's just a shove from behind, I think it's what he's probably just – he's trying to campaign, was that an actual basketball play?
For sure, I get that.
I get why you would – but again, this is going to – it took a while in the first half. It ended up being a flagrant two on Kamari McGee, which – nobody agreed with who watches outside of the Purdue fans, which I get that.
Even Purdue fans knew it wasn't a flagrant, too.
But they accepted it. And at the same time, and you and I have talked about it, Wisconsin is, there have been a lot of calls that have gone Wisconsin's way here in the second
for
half.
For sure.
That now, have looked like favors.
Why have they gone their way? It's because Wisconsin's been a more aggressive team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, the fouls that have gone their way have been Wisconsin's been attacking. You're not going to get calls if you just sit and pass the ball around the perimeter.
59.6 seconds to play. Wisconsin 86, Purdue 79. And while the officials continue to look at the monitor, Matt Painter getting a freebie timeout. Greg Gard wants his guys over there. He's got three of them talking with DJ Carstensen right now. Just a conversation. Now Greg brings him over and says, I want that extra timeout too. For the record, both teams have one timeout available.
I know Greg, why Greg would ask for it.
Yeah.
I think as a coach you do. I don't like.
Well, they also adjust the game clock there to, it's showing 58.3. I thought they were asking for 58.5. It's not a flagrant. We got Nolan Winter at the line. Now the Badgers are in the double bonus. That was team foul number 10. Nolan today 1 out of 2 at the foul line. Make it 2 out of 3 as he makes the first. Lawyer and Kaufman Wren are in. Heidi and Harris are out. 87-79, Wisconsin, 58.3 seconds to play. Winter with 12 points this afternoon. Second free throw off the rim and out. No good. Rebound C.J. Cox. 8-point lead, Wisconsin, 55 seconds to play. Smith throwing to Lawyer, high on the left. Going to Kaufman Wren, top of the circle. Hands off to Smith, fans to the left side. Now to 45 seconds. Smith left of the lane, goes to the goal shot. Blocked by Gilmore. Into the hands of John Tanjay. And a foul in the backcourt. Gilly James with the big defensive play for Wisconsin.
Well, it was. In the first half, he had another big block in the game as well. He's been ultra aggressive again.
And the foul on C.J. Cox with 40.9 seconds to play. 87-79, Wisconsin. John Tanjay, 25 points today. And he will shoot 2. And the first free throw is good. Nothing but net. Only the second free throw attempt of the day for Tanjay. He averages 6.5 tries per. 88-79, Wisconsin. Second free throw, Tanjay will bounce in. 89-79, Wisconsin. Down to 38 seconds remaining. Here comes Smith. Kicks it, Colvin. Right corner, 3. Not this time. Rebound battle for Kaufman. Ran, had it. Turns up right hand. Rolls in for him. And a timeout taken by Purdue with 28.4 seconds to play. 89-81 Wisconsin. That's the final timeout for the Boilermakers.
Just can't talk enough about how good this response was from the first half.
Big time.
I mean, they had a choice, and they, just based on the way that the DNA is of this team, is they were going to respond. They have some adversity, and they were going to respond. I didn't have doubt, but I didn't think they were going to respond like this.
It was a game that I was concerned might get away in the first half.
Correct.
Up 9, including 35-26. You're missing Kamari McGee off the flagrant 2. But you mentioned a couple minutes ago, Butch, getting to within 1 at the half. They fought their way back into it. Was massive.
Yeah. I thought that was a big part of this. Going in the locker room, and then you go in there and you see Kamari, right? Like, because he's already kicked out of the game. He's in there. But you know it's a one-point game. You're feeling confident in what you can do. The response from this group, we've talked a lot about them being a special group. But yet, all their losses have been against really good teams.
Absolutely.
So, were they going to get over that hump of beating a really good team? I thought the Arizona team, you know, that win was looking better and better. But at that time, was Arizona great?
No.
Yeah. Purdue's good. Purdue's really good. This is a great win.
Carter Gilmore will inbound. He's got John Blackwell wide left. Max Klesman slot left. A little football terminology. Inbounds pass to Tanjay, trying to trap him, and he's trying to squeeze through it. He is fouled. He had Kaufman Wren and Ja'Kari Harris there. And Tanjay will get 2 more foul shots with 25 seconds to play. 89-81 Wisconsin. Foul on Kaufman Wren is his 4th. This is about as quiet as it gets here at Mackey Arena.
The only time it was a little bit quieter when Zach Morley buried about 7 threes. Now, it also was a blizzard and an ice storm, so there was nobody here to start. But
yeah, that broke the streak. First free throw is good. Before that night, the Badgers hadn't won here since 1972. They won here 3 years ago. Johnny Davis went off. Second free throw for Tanjay is good. 91-81 Wisconsin with 25 seconds remaining. Brayden Smith weaving to the front court. Fakes the 3. Throws the Kaufman Wren out to Smith. Takes the 3. It's off the back of the rim. No good. Rebound. Tanjay of Wisconsin. And he is fouled in the backcourt by Cox with 14.6 seconds to play. And the Badgers are up by 10.
The Badgers are going to have a great flight home is what they're going to have.
Yes,
just
they
a
are.
Great, great performance.
And this is one that's going to open up a lot of eyes as people who followed Wisconsin knows this is a good team. Now everybody else is going to say, hey, what about these guys? First free throw is good for Tanjay.
I'll just say this. You watch enough College Game Day. Eric Rowley showed me a picture of how all the analysts there decided they were going to pick Purdue with the win. that's an offer.
Yeah.
That's an offer.
Swing and a miss. Free throw good for Tanjay. 93-81 Wisconsin. 14.6 seconds remaining. Lesman out. Janicki in. Braden Smith up the floor. Gets a screen from Kaufman Wren. Feeds Cox. Tries a 3 right side and hit it. 93-84 Wisconsin, 9.8 seconds to play. Tanjay fouled in the backcourt by Miles Colvin. John Tanjay, we mentioned he hadn't been shooting many free throws. He's going to end up with 9 attempts today. He's 7 of 7 so far.
With a quiet 33. Now, 31, I'm assuming these just go in based on the way he shoots it. But another game from John Tanjay that, again, you go back to that USC game, was held scoreless, wasn't pouting, wasn't just, all right, how do I keep rolling? How do we keep doing this, finding it within the offense? And that's what he's done. And just, again, you got to credit Greg and staff for finding a guy that really not a lot of people thought could do this at this level.
Made the first, and he is short with the second. 8 seconds left. 94-84 Wisconsin. Cox front court right side with 3. Cox tries a 3. Rattles out, no good. Blackwell the rebound, and the Wisconsin Badgers come into Mackey Arena and take down Purdue by 10. And look who is in the thick of the Big Ten chase. The Wisconsin Badgers, as they defeat Purdue 94-84.
You can use every word possible. Gutsy, excellent, whatever you want to throw out there with this team. But they find a way to continue to just keep winning, and they keep their head down, and they keep working. and they represent what Wisconsin's about, the state, right? Like, born, like, this is the way you do it. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be things that don't go your way. You just keep your head down and you keep plowing away at things, and that's what this group does.
And it sets up one heck of a matchup on Tuesday night at the Kohl Center. Come out and join us. This team's pretty good. This team being the Wisconsin Badgers. Tuesday night, 7:30, Wisconsin against Illinois. We'll let these guys be happy about today for a few hours first. Fun one. We thought it might be. It was.
Well, and again, you know, we've kind of said it a lot, but getting this game to one at halftime I thought was so important in what this team was going to be able to do. And offensively, they put up 94. I said with about 4 minutes left, Purdue's going to have a run. You know what Purdue didn't have? A run.
A run.
And why didn't they have a run? It wasn't because they weren't making plays on the offensive end, but Wisconsin continued to make plays offensively on their side. And I go back to two big plays, two huge plays, that when you rewatch the game, they're not going to be big plays, but they're big plays in this moment. Backdoor cut by John Blackwell for a layup. Backdoor cut by John Tanjay for a layup. When offensively, shot clock's running down, they didn't have anything. It was going to be a bad possession, which then means a bad shot, which that's how Purdue could have possibly got some runs. No. John Blackwell backdoor, John Tanjay backdoor, layup, layup. Purdue never could get on a run because of plays like that.
No, this crowd tried to will him back in after a couple of big three-point hits for the Boilermakers. The Badgers time and again had the answer. Final score, Wisconsin 94, Purdue 84. We're back with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by your Wisconsin Ford dealers, inviting you to visit your Wisconsin Ford store or buyfordnow.com. Fabic Cat, your cat equipment dealer throughout Badgerland. SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. And by UW Health Sports Medicine. Treating the Badgers, treating you. Visit uwsportsmedicine.org. Welcome to the Badger Post Game Show.
The Wisconsin Badgers shoot 61.5% for the field, 72% in the second half. Come into West Lafayette and we'll go home with a 10-point win. Wisconsin 94, Purdue 84. Butchie, we talked about Braden Smith before the game. He had 12 assists today. He was just 2-10 from the field.
He was very uncomfortable, and I thought that might be the case with Wisconsin's guards. But there was another – we talked about a couple of plays offensively, why they could never get comfortable. Purdue was making a I'm not even going to call it a run. But Carter Gilmore knocks the ball out, goes to Greg Gard. 12 seconds on the shot clock, which means now all of a sudden they got to go. What happens? John Blackwell, Braden Smith, one-on-one. John Blackwell locked him up. He was uncomfortable that entire possession. He was uncomfortable the entire game, and I think a lot of that is because they could put a couple different guards on him, whether it was Jack Janicki, whether it was John Blackwell. Like, there was enough players that were able to make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, you mentioned Blackwell because, I mean, obviously, Tanjay, 32 points. Jack Janicki was so huge. John Blackwell did not score in the first half. He had the two fouls. Thinking, man, they got to find a way to get him going. He had 11 in the second half. You just mentioned his defensive work.
I mean, really impressive. I mean, again, I've used that word a lot, but wow. Like, this team is really good. We've said it a while, and hey, come on board. It's all right. Come on board.
We got room. We'll make room for you.
We'll make
it's
room.
All good.
But they've been a fun group because of their depth more than anything. You don't know whose night it's going to be. We've seen a Carter Gilmore game. We've seen a Jack Janicki game. We've seen a John Tanja game. We saw a John Blackwell, a Nolan Winter, a Stephen Kroll. I mean, the list – Max Klusman. I mean, the list goes on and on as far as guys that have had their moments. I think that is why this team is so good.
And it's win number 20 for the Wisconsin Badgers. They're now 20-5 overall, 10-4 in Big Ten conference play. Wisconsin 94, Purdue 84. More of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame shows coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL, no problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
Hear that? That's Jones All-Natural Sausage Cooking. It's almost ready to be enjoyed in your favorite breakfast sandwich or as a side with eggs. And that is Jones Dry-Aged Bacon with flavor you won't find anywhere else. You can really taste the difference our dry-aging process makes. I'm Philip Jones, and quality ingredients and attention to detail are how we've been making breakfast better since 1889. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024 U.S. Bank.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues from West Lafayette, Indiana, where the Wisconsin Badgers, for the sixth time in program history, have come into this building and have won It's hard to do for any opponent, and the Badgers get it done here today, 94-84. And they go the majority of this game without a guy who is a Sixth Man of the Year candidate in Kamari McGee, with more than 6.5 minutes left in the first half. He was trying to fight through a screen from Trey Kaufman Wren, and it was a hard collision, and McGee was assessed a flagrant 2. So his day was done. At the time, the Badgers were down 27-22. They trailed by as many as 9 on a couple of occasions. But in his absence, Wisconsin fought back. Jack Janicki, 5 points in the first half. He added 6 more in the second. Purdue led at the break, 37-36. But Wisconsin in the second half knocked down 18 of 25 shots overall, 6 of 12 from 3, and 16 of 20 from the free throw line. Overall, their foul shooting was below their standards. They were 18 of 24, but they got there and knocked down plenty there at crunch time en route to this 10-point win. The Boilermakers shoot 52% from the field, 45% from three. They shot it well as well, and 16 of 21 at the free throw line. Purdue ends up a +2 on the glass, but in a game like this with two really good teams just having at it, Purdue with 21 assists on the 29 buckets. Wisconsin had 18 dimes on 32 field goals, and there were a combined 7 turnovers. 4 for Purdue, just 3 for Wisconsin. Paint points were even at 36. Butchie mentioned in the first half, Purdue had 10 fast break points, 10 more than Wisconsin did, in fact. But in the second half, that leveled off. The Boilermakers only 2 fast break points in the second half, and Wisconsin ended up with 8 fast break points in this ball game. Wisconsin wins it here this afternoon, 94-84 over the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll take another break. When we continue, we'll take a glance at the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and 2 candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
And the Ad Council.
Postgame coverage continues here at Mackey Arena as Wisconsin defeats Purdue this afternoon, 94-84. Let's check out the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Another conference game in progress, a little less than 14 minutes remaining in State College, where Penn State leads Washington 52-48. Later today, a bit more than a half an hour from now, USC will host Minnesota. And tonight, in a featured game, Michigan State's will take on Illinois down in Champaign. Tomorrow, 4 more conference games on the schedule. Michigan will be at Ohio State. Nebraska travels to Northwestern. Maryland, playing some good ball of late, will host the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa getting a really nice road win at Rutgers earlier in the week. And the Oregon Ducks have the home floor against the Scarlet Knights. That will be tomorrow night. Next up for the Badgers will be Illinois. That will be on Tuesday night, a 7:30 tip time at the Kohl Center. The Illini went through some tough stretch there. They had some injury and health issues, but they look like they're rounding back into form. So hopefully a great atmosphere in store for the Badgers as they come home to start a 3-game homestand beginning Tuesday against the Illini. That's a look at our Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. Your final here in West Lafayette, Wisconsin 94, Purdue 84. More to come as our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Looking for a fan favorite at your tailgate? Pork has you covered. Not only is it nutritious and delicious, but pork's got that flavor that your family expects. Firing up the grill? Try chops, brats, and ribs. Making appetizers or finger foods? Add bacon, ground, or shredded pork. Visit WPPA.org for recipe inspiration and to learn where you can source local pork. Wisconsin Pork Association is proud to support the Badgers and our farmers all year round. And you should too. Brought to you by Wisconsin's Pig Farmers.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning, commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
It's Truck Month with the Ford crew.
Sam, do you know what these trucks have in common?
They're all Ford trucks.
And?
And they're built Ford tough.
Also true, but specifically they're Ford F-Series trucks, the best-selling trucks in America for 48 years.
48 years? We should celebrate a month-long event.
Sam.
A truckload of value.
Sam.
Across the entire lineup of Ford trucks.
Sam.
That's called Truck Month already, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I knew it.
Based on 1977 to 2024 CY Industry reported total sales.
Hear that? That's Jones All-Natural Sausage Cooking. It's almost ready to be enjoyed in your favorite breakfast sandwich or as a side with eggs. And that is Jones Dry-Aged Bacon with flavor you won't find anywhere else. You can really taste the difference our dry-aging process makes. I'm Philip Jones, and quality ingredients and attention to detail are how we've been making breakfast better since 1889. Try Jones, a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And go Badgers!
Badgers are born brave. They're not afraid to face a tough opponent or take on the impossible. At UW Health Carbone Cancer Center, our team of doctors take on cancer with that same Badger stamina. Where others step back, we step up, researching, treating, and defeating even the most complex cancers, making us the only NCI-designated comprehensive cancer center in the state. So now, from stadium to hospital, you can count on Wisconsin and UW Health to fight and win. UW Health Carbone Cancer Center. Remarkable.
We continue with the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as Wisconsin defeats Purdue this afternoon, 94-84. Moments to go. Brian Butch caught up with head coach Greg Gard.
We're here with Coach Gard. Coach, first of all, great win. I said during the broadcast that Purdue's going to make a run. Well, they never really made a run. Why didn't they make a run?
You know, Brian, this group is so united, so connected, and believe in each other so much that they just – I probably talk less in these huddles today than I ever have, which is probably a good thing. They just – it's such a player-led team, and, you know, with Kamari getting ejected from the game, I think they just threw gas on our fire. And obviously, just big play after big play. Klesmet was big down the stretch. John Tanji made big shots. They found each other in terms of milking possessions, and then we get a back cut for a layup or a back cut for a dunk. And then how about Jack Janicki coming off? And, you know, the first game, first time in Mackey as a freshman, and he's out there like he's been here 10 times. So just a heck of a team effort. Really proud of this group. You know, that's a really good team on the other side. But as I told them, we're for real. We're really good ourselves.
You are. And I think when you look at this game, obviously, Kamari goes out very questionable. We won't even ask you about that one. But you guys get it to one at halftime. How important was getting it kind of a little bit closer at halftime so you get in there and just kind of regroup more than anything?
Yeah, I think that's the moxie of this group. When something goes awry, they know there's a lot of basketball left to be played, and they know we can make up a difference in terms of a score deficit fast because of how we are offensively. So, yeah, I thought we had a lot of confidence coming in a half to, with all the things that went against us in the first half, to still only be down one and have a shot. We didn't execute real well the last set, but a shot to take the lead at halftime, which was fine. Let's get to half, and knowing that we gained a lot of confidence from what didn't go well and still having a one-point game, let's go this second half and take control of this thing.
Offensively, that's been the story about the nation, about Wisconsin. It's going to be again, especially with you guys putting up 94. But you guys score 70, or you guys shoot at 72% in the second half. What works so well offensively in that second half?
Unselfish players, really good players, and a really good system. I mean, it's a combination of all three. You can't have one without the other, and you can't have two without the third. So, and we got the ball to go in, but it's just the unselfishness and the talent of this group, and they have so much confidence right now in what we're doing from an offensive standpoint, and it's fun to watch.
It's fun for us to watch as well. We did talk a little bit about you guys got had a tough three-game stretch here. Obviously, you get the first one here, but there's a tough one coming up Tuesday night when you look at this Illinois team. Not to look ahead too far ahead, but how do you get them to dial in, still enjoy this win, as we hear it in the background a little bit, but then kind of refocus, get ready for Tuesday and another shot at Illinois?
Yeah, we'll reconvene tomorrow morning and go through this film, learn from it, get a good lift in. Get on the court and get 2 days prepared. They know they're a mature group. They know this is a long grind, and we saw a really, really good team today. We're going to see a really, really good team again on Tuesday night. But we need to enjoy this here today and let them enjoy this, because they put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get this team to this point into it. And I like to let them enjoy the fruits of their labor for a little bit, Brian.
Well, go enjoy it then. Thanks so much, Coach. Congratulations. Great win, guys.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Wisconsin 94, Purdue 84. Back to wrap things up here at Mackey Arena in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Badgers.
Sees Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Clay.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
Court justice.
Right.
If they can't even count on you to do what's morally right and condemn violence against police officers.
That oath says all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And we got a lot of domestic ones.
Yeah.
Christopher Wray, you know, the former FBI director, said that these people were domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, and you know, and it's insane how, you know, Kevin McCarthy that night found his moral courage only to lose it weeks later when he was, you know, I was just down by, I was in the neighborhood of Mar-a-Lago.
He was summoned.
Just wanted to go say hi.
He was summoned.
You know, and it's reprehensible. And what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons I'm excited to have Officer Dunn here is I do think that January 6th and what happened in the aftermath also represents the worst of this country. But the years that preceded was a lot of the ways in which we organized people around, not right and left, but as you love to say,
yes,
right and wrong.
Yes.
And one of the things, we saw that here, right? We had a MAGA council who were trying to defund our clerk's department, who was giving aid and room for Michael Gableman to spend up to $2 to $4 million of taxpayer dollars just trying to justify the January 6th attacks by saying that there was election interference that never manifested itself, that we had another investigation by the state Senate into the city. But what we saw is when we took the politics out and we actually said, what do we believe as a community is right and wrong? What we saw is a complete change in the politics of our community. Mm-hmm. That we literally went from Gableman announcing his investigation at the Common Council in Green Bay, Wisconsin, to having a pro-democracy majority, to re-electing the mayor of Green Bay, to electing Judge Janet Persiewicz, and electing the first openly gay biracial guy ever to represent Wisconsin. And because, not because of those identities, but because we turned into this community versus on it or on each other. And I think that's what I want to make sure, and I'm excited about having the officer here, is because that is what's happening. And while national politics may not reflect that, what we've seen is when we actually tell the truth, that we reflect the things that are happening in our communities, and we tell people to make a choice about their values. Places like Green Bay choose each other.
Yeah.
They choose to be neighborly. They choose to condemn the attacks on police officers. They condemn the acts of violence that happen in any type of protest. And that is the vast majority of people in this country, the vast majority of people in the state and in the city. And so I wanted to bring him here to remind everybody that regardless of what's happening at the national level, we cannot buy into the idea that these types of actions, this kind of violence, should go away.
Yeah.
It should be ignored, that people should be held accountable, both in courts of law, but even at the ballot box, that we have to vote our values. And our values is that we take care of each other and we respect the people who protect us and protect our democracy. And we can never lose sight of that.
Yeah. And I know I appreciate, you know, you're putting up temporary residence here. You were here with, you were here supporting our dear friend, Kristen Lyerly.
Yeah, love Kristen.
She's a wonderful person, dear friend to all of us. And you're back, you know. And how can people support what you do?
Well, see, I'm an American citizen, a person who loves and cares about his country. Mm-hmm. Before I'm Officer Dunn.
You know what? Before you keep going, one of the things that I think you would like this, because this will go really well. On Inauguration Day, I texted Kinzinger and I asked him, "How you doing, bud?" Because he just got his pardon from Biden, which he didn't know was coming. And
I
all
did
of that.
Too.
Oh yes, right.
President, I got a pardon.
From Biden. Holy crap! Yeah. I asked him. I'm like, "How are you feeling?" And he goes, "This sucks, but I am still optimistic."
Mm.
You know,
he said the same thing when we've talked. But listen, I love this country, and I'm going to fight for it. Not as an officer, Joe Biden. And you talked earlier, Ahmad, about January 6th being a memorable date. Joe Biden turned around my January 6th a year after that when he presented me with the Presidential Citizens Medal.
Yeah.
So he turned one of the darkest days into one of the proudest days of my life. And I appreciate that. But when I accepted that medal, I didn't accept a lot of my coworkers. They wore their uniforms. They wore their police uniforms to shine. I wore a suit because I didn't accept it as Officer Harry Dunn. I accepted as Citizen Harry Dunn. because I am doing this work that I'm doing. It wasn't as an officer. It's just because I care about this country. I care about what's right. So that's why I'm out here. I started a PAC. I know Harry Dunn's Democracy Defenders, Democracy Defenders PAC. You could check that out. I have a Substack. Harry, it's called Standing Our Ground. And I just want to just reach people where they are. Mm. I mean, I am all across the country. I just endorsed the governor's race in Michigan, Jocelyn Benson. We'll be looking at New Jersey, Virginia. I mean, there's so much we can do before 2026, the midterms. Mm-hmm. April 1st, yeah. April 1st here. Just please check it out. I wrote a book called Standing My Ground, Capitol Police Officers Fight for Accountability After January 6th. And you know what? A lot of people have said, let's move on from January 6th. You know, I would love nothing more. I would love nothing more to.
That'd be great.
But
right?
We move on once you have accountability.
Correct.
And also, Donald Trump keeps bringing up January 6th.
Right, right.
On Sunday, on Air Force One, he said that the government attacked the January 6th rioters. The police officers was wrong to attack those people. Mm. And he said this on Sunday.
Right.
So he's still bringing it up. And, you know, as long as you are, I'm going to keep showing up.
So. Well, and it's so funny because he says that on Air Force One, and then he goes to the Super Bowl and says, we love our law enforcement. Shut the hell up. No, you do not, because you cannot have both things. You cannot love your law enforcement and back the blue and then let out 1,500 people who beat the hell out of police officers and killed one of them, killed multiple.
Well, the only logical reason I could think, he doesn't view us as law enforcement officers. He viewed us as people who stopped his plan. We were obstacles. So he doesn't see us as police officers. So maybe he supports people that actually believe in upholding the rule of law.
Republican police officers.
Yeah.
I can say that.
Yeah, I won't say that because I got friends that are Republicans.
I do too. I mean,
I
don't even think it's just about Republican police officers. It's if you agree with him or not.
Right.
There was a time, as you were saying really earlier, there was a time where there was bipartisan condemnation of what was happening. It was, honestly, we were all like, maybe this is
Mike
the
Gallagher.
Moment. Right.
Yeah.
And we had the local, and I always like to bring it back local, we had Mike Gallagher just opposing a nominee where folks use violent rhetoric and swatted him and his family, his newborn babies, right here, right in the 8th congressional district, because they didn't agree with Donald Trump. He didn't agree with the impeachment of this particular person. And those MAGA extremists decided, despite being a lifelong Republican, probably one of the rising stars of the Republican Party, and who was so violently attacked verbally and his family that is now out of politics. And I think we just need to realize that this is you. And I love you say this all the time. It really in this moment, it's not always as right and left. It really is about right and wrong.
Yeah.
And even Republicans that do not agree with them, they're willing to use these tactics and methodologies and apologize for their violence. And we have to hold people accountable. Well,
Kinzinger had to move half a country away.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, like it's wild. So you also have a podcast, Clean Up on Aisle 45.
Clean Up on Aisle 45.
I love that title.
Yeah, that's hilarious. People have wondered, like, we can get that word, Clean Up on Aisle 45. That's actually,
I love it.
I enjoy doing that. We just talk about the happenings of the Justice Department, Trump's Justice Department. Now, one thing I noticed about the Trump's Justice Department, by the way, the DOJ for the last couple of years have always been the plaintiffs and going after people. This administration, the 3 weeks old, they sure are doing a lot of time on the defensive right now.
Yeah, Trump's used to being a defendant.
So it may only make sense that the DOJ is literally the defendant in every court case.
So we got 30 seconds. I want to know what makes you hopeful about our future.
People are still talking about it. People care. Mm-hmm. And that's what, listen, everybody listening, I form an opinion, get educated about your candidate. Before election day. Don't wait till after election day to have an opinion. The time is now. Let's not wait till 2026. Get involved now.
Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, my dear friend, Representative Amanda Vera Wagner. You guys, this was amazing.
Thanks,
thank you.
Friend.
I appreciate
you.
It. You got a friend for life. Rational Revolution, we'll be right back after this.
Over me. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, man. I don't know how to follow that up. I just play music for 5 minutes and I'll shut up. And it's like, wow, that was an incredible discussion. Officer Harry Dunn from the Capitol Police, who was part of January 6th, you know, one of the heroes, and was brought here by our dear friend, Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. That was amazing. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But first and foremost, I got to, doing this... Yeah, I don't realize there's other people on the other side of the microphone. We got a voicemail from our dear friend Ellen in Cedarburg. I heard you, Ellen. I love that. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you listening. So I really wanted to give her a shout out. But so back to all of this. It was interesting to hear Officer Dunn say that what gives him hope was that people keep talking about it and people don't forget. And I think that's so important because they're trying so damn hard to get you to forget. And people will tell you, yeah, we're going to get past January 6th. Don't ever, ever forget it. And, you know, what happened, it's so much bigger than the attack. The attack was terrible, and I don't want to downplay it. But January 6th, it symbolizes just like everything that is wrong with this type of politics, with Trumpism, I'll say it, with Trumpism. And this is why people harp on this, and this is why, you know, we talk about this, and it's so important, because, like, everything, all of the bad stuff, everything from that 4 years of a pressure cooker that happened, you know, leading up to January 6th, it all exploded, you know, from COVID to the Black Lives Matter protests and all of the stuff that Trump did to bring us to that point. He did what he always does, and he threw a 55-gallon drum of diesel fuel on that fire, and wouldn't you know it, it exploded. And I don't understand the people, you know, who know better, but don't do better. I don't understand. And what I mean by that is, we talked about it, how people can see what happened with their own eyes. They can see what was there. They know what happened on January 6th. It doesn't take someone with any formal education whatsoever. My 4-year-old daughter would watch that video and say, those guys are the bad guys. And I don't understand how people can internalize keeping that bold-faced lie going. It goes against everything you were taught as a child, I hope. Everything you were taught as a child. Right from wrong. Bad from good. How to treat people with kindness. And I don't understand that. You know, one of the things I also learned when I was reading the January 6th committee report, Did you know that Sidney Powell, who was Donald Trump's lawyer throughout this whole thing, and who would you know, throw all of these crazy accusations of 30,000 dead people voting and all this, you know, a truckload of ballots coming down from New York and going into Pennsylvania, which, by the way, how this worked, if you have time, you can read the audio book too. It's 24 hours, by the way. How this worked is one day, at late afternoon, Donald Trump would hear these facts of, you know, okay, the FBI would come and say, Mr. Trump, no, there was not 30,000 dead people that were voting. We did find two who voted by absentee, and they did die in this precinct. And so there was two in this whole state. So he knew the truth. He knew the truth. And the very next day, he would go on the news and tweet out. He would say, 30,000 dead people are voting. When he knows, he was told hours before that it's BS. And so Sidney Powell, who was the lawyer, you know, the crackpot lawyer that was throwing all these accusations out there, this was her defense. When she had to go face a judge, and the judge was like, dude, what the hell was that all about? Right? You know, he didn't say that, but, you know, we're paraphrasing here. Her defense for herself was, and I quote, no reasonable person would conclude that her statements were truly statements of facts. I'll read that again. Her defense was, no reasonable person would conclude that her statements were truly statements of fact. So her defense of why she did all of this was, I can't possibly be guilty because all of this stuff was so crazy, y'all should have known that I was lying. That was, and look it up, that was her defense. And the hypocrisy of all of this is that the F your feelings crowd, right? We all say that, oh, screw your feelings. It's the Trump derangement syndrome. You're just suffering from, you know, liberal snowflake. Okay, those people is cheering on someone whose goal in everything he does is to jab and poke and everything from, you know, renaming the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America to Denali, Fort Bragg, talk about we're going to use plastic straws again. We're going to make straws great. All of that stuff, it's nothing burgers. It is just strictly designed to piss off people who don't like him. And then the second someone takes exception to that, like to say, well, that's really stupid. It's been the Gulf of Mexico for like, what, 500 years? Oh, my goodness. How could you? That's just. And so you had 4 years of that leading up to January 6th. And wouldn't you know it, all hell broke loose and people died. And thanks to people like Officer Harry Dunn, a lot more people could have died, but didn't. And so this is why it's so important, you know, and I agree with Adam Kinzinger. Boy, before Donald Trump, I was at the point where it's like, yeah, okay, we can kind of get past this. Not anymore. There is no excuse for giving a pass to this. And the only way that we are going to overcome, the only way that this gets better is when those people receive justice and those people who egged it on are no longer shuffling around the halls of power in the United States of America. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we will talk to you next week.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Health officials are trying to stop the spread of measles in West Texas, where cases have doubled in the past weeks. Vaccination rates there and in other parts of the nation have dropped, leaving more people open to the illness. Reporter Chris Fox with details.
The Texas Department of State Health Services confirming 48 cases of measles so far, 42 in Gaines County alone, but there is a fear that number could reach around 300. All of them unvaccinated. 13 have been hospitalized. All but 5 are children. Dr. Jason Bowling is with the UT Health System.
That's really concerning because we know that children are at higher risk for complications with measles.
Symptoms include full body rashes, high fever. Measles can be deadly. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Better gear up in part to the nation if you're heading outside this weekend. CBS News meteorologist John Elliott.
Torrential rain, Kentucky and Tennessee.